When you're open to the public for business, you can choose what to sell. But you don't always get to choose what issues you're going to have to tackle. I'm Shannon Hayes, and you're listening to Season 5, Episode 1 of The Hearth of Sapbush Hollow.
It was a cold, wild winter. You were sleeping on my shoulder. I was praying that the raging storm would stay a little longer. With your feet up on the dashboard of my summer dreaming westward, I was hoping that we'd wake up to the softest of spring mornings humming. Do, 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 do.
Welcome to the Hearth of Sapbush Hollow, chronicles and lessons from a life tied to family, community, and the land. I'm Shannon Hayes, and I operate Sapbush Hollow Farm with three generations of my family in the northern Catskill Mountains of upstate New York. I'm the chef owner of Sapbush Cafe, a farm-to-table and neighbor-to-neighbor experience, open Saturdays 9 to 2 from April through November in our tiny hamlet of West Fulton. And I'm also the author of a few books, including Radical Homemakers, The Grass-Fed Gourmet, and Redefining Rich. Homelessness, I think it's a big problem. But is it one we want to tackle? The question appears on the front page of the March 7th issue of the Times Journal, our local newspaper. It was asked by a lieutenant in charge at a nearby village meeting convened to discuss a proposed affordable housing project at our former county jail. Half of the project has been earmarked for those in need of supportive services, which includes housing for the homeless. The officer's question sticks in my craw as I read on to the next article about a Main Street shop in Cobleskill that had three windows broken when three homeless people shot BBs through the store with a stolen gun from a park across the street. I'm wondering if the LIC is reading these same stories, pondering how his question weighs up. Is homelessness a problem we want to tackle? I can't read about the Main Street Shop, a small business selling herbal and nutritional supplements, without imagining deeply the fears of the owners and the people who work there. I have fixated on their windows. Those of us with businesses open to the public invest heavily in our windows, financially, creatively, and emotionally. We want the world to be able to see in, to take an interest, to feel welcome and drawn inside. I grew up with a deep love for windows and a hatred for blinds, shades, curtains, or anything that blocked out the natural world. I wanted to see every sunrise, feel its rays across my body, watch the light play across the forests and the fields, witness every raindrop, gaze as the sky morphed from blue to orange and pink and finally to indigo at sunset. To watch the moon rise, to open my eyes at night and witness every twinkling star. I even liked seeing the lights in my neighbor's house down the road. That changed for me exactly 2 years ago when a shooter drove through our hamlet in the middle of the night, firing a gun from his car, putting bullets in one family's swimming pool, into the firehouse, and firing several bullets into Sapbush Hollow Farm's store. The shooter was a neighbor. His house is across the creek from the cafe and farm store. When Sersha and I pull in to start work in the pre-dawn hours, we can see the lights in his windows from our windows. I had never had any problems with him, but I was soon to learn from the police, he imagined problems with Sapbush Hollow. imagined deeply disturbing things about my daughters and me, and developed conspiracy theories about a number of other people in town. New York's bail reform laws permitted him to continue to live at his home to await his trial. And after the shootings, we had to continue to live and work in proximity to him for the next year and a half. Because of the damages to our business, I had to be a witness, and until the trial was over, I was directed not to speak or write publicly regarding the matter, except for the facts that were publicly recorded already in the newspaper. During the 18 months when we awaited the trial, we and the other members of our community had to become better acquainted with the neighbor across the creek. We learned that he monitored our comings and goings. He'd drive by with his car with a hole in the muffler, or his motorcycle, and swerve toward the building if he saw us through the windows. He'd pause in front and rev the engine of whatever vehicle he was operating. He wasn't supposed to have any more guns in his house, but if the girls and I tried to use our patio beside the creek and our voices carried across the water, he'd fire off explosives and guns, and they'd be hidden by the time the police could get there. He scattered nails in our parking lot, dropped dead animals in front of our store. That first summer, we closed the creekside patio to our customers. We paid to repair punctured tires on our vehicles. We bought a nail sweeper and learned to sweep the parking lot during the week of each full moon. We began to notice that this was his favored time for acting out. I developed a habit of jumping in alarm when I heard a loud engine or a motorcycle. And I began to fear our windows, of being seen through them, of the bullets that could penetrate them. One of my few comforts was the company I shared with the other residents in town. Sit with any of them, and they will have stories to tell about what they endured. Shared pain reduces pain, I guess. We're all trying to work through our fears. But this is not what small-town life is supposed to be about. This is not what farming is supposed to be about. I am a little embarrassed to admit it, but I wonder if the lieutenant in charge's comment sticks in my craw because of the cognitive dissonance it causes. I want to accuse him of being insular, of failing to open his eyes and see what's happening in rural America. Homelessness and violence are just the tip of the iceberg. Drug addiction is wreaking havoc, destroying loving families and robbing communities of wonderful people. But a part of me has to admit, the LIC touches on one of my own truths. I chose this life because I wanted to be on the land, because I love good food and I cherish my connection with family and community. But did I not also choose an isolated, self-reliant path? Fresh vegetables, meat, and firewood are all within arm's reach. Family cooperation keeps financial strains contained. It can be a good year for business or a bad year for business, but we are never without a warm fire, a roof over our heads, and food in our bellies. That security puts me in a unique, privileged position, right? I can decide whether or not I want to tackle the problems of the big wide world. When we only opened the farm for business once per month and kept the gate pulled across the driveway, I suppose that was an option. But Bob and I felt drawn into the community of West Fulton. We wanted to use our position as farmers to help build relationships and economic vitality, to give people a place to gather where nourishing food and good conversation lightened the burdens of people's daily lives. We wanted to open our business to the world. So we fixed up the cafe and the honor store, and like good Main Street business people, if you could call it that in West Fulton, we invested in installing windows that let the beautiful wide world know that it was welcome. But in moving the center of business off the farm and down into the hamlet, we opened ourselves up to the pain of the world too. And the past 2 years have been painful. In December, our resident shooter finally had his day in court. We were reminded how he, too, was once a welcome member of the community, part of the road crew, someone who could fix things, a set of helping hands. But the drugs got him, too. They wreaked havoc with his mind, creating a dangerous cocktail when mixed with his love for hunting and weapons. Ultimately, the jury found him not responsible for his crimes by reason of mental illness. And while the verdict seems unjust, it brings us great relief. Many of us in the hamlet feared what jail would do to his already scrambled grip on reality. We worried that he'd only complete his sentence, return to his home, and be more dangerous than before. But this verdict put him into the mental health system. If he is ever allowed out, there is a chance it will be because he's well enough to live safely among us. That's a better outcome than a short-term sentence that merely punishes for a crime. I hope. The cafe reopens for the season this Saturday, and the Creekside patio will once again be available to our customers. I still shudder when I hear a motorcycle or car with a hole in the muffler, but I'm getting better at walking past windows. Still, I think of those shopkeepers down in Cobleskill with those fresh bullet holes. How fragile everything must feel for them right now. And this is what I realized in the past 2 years. Yes, motorcycles, loud mufflers, and windows sometimes make me nervous. But going through something like this, I grew keenly aware that I love what I do. I love my customers. I love growing food and cooking for them. I love welcoming them. That love has given me courage to keep showing up, to keep trying. But when you're on Main Street, if you can call it that, in West Fulton, you don't get to decide which of society's problems you want to tackle, because they come to your door or through your window. Every farm stand owner, shopkeeper, baker, barista, barkeeper, and restaurant owner knows this. The lights in the windows force us to look at our society's problems head on. But it's also the lights in the windows that keep a glow in a community, that help the members of a locality recognize what it means to feel at home, to know that even when there are problems to tackle, whether it's the heart of Harlem, downtown Cobleskill, or Main Street in West Fulton, if you can call it that, there is a village life worth fighting for. Sapbush Cafe opens for the season this Saturday, March 30th, and the cafe now has a new home on the web. You can find it over at sapbushfarmstore.com/cafe. There you can check out our menu, see the weekly prefix special, and learn more about us. We look forward to serving you every Saturday from 9 to 2 through the last Saturday before Thanksgiving. Also, drum roll please. We are installing new EV car chargers in the parking lot this week. So, if you come to the cafe, if you want to visit the Honor Store, or have a picnic out by the creek, or you want to stay in the Airbnbs or take a hike in the area, you now have a place to charge your electric vehicle. In other news, Sapbush is now shipping our meats. For one $50 flat fee, we will ship throughout the Northeast. So, the more you order, the more you save. For folks who would like to be able to recognize greater savings buying our wholes, halves, and quarter animals, but who lack the freezer space that our share customers happen to be lucky enough to have, we now have a new meat subscription program where the cuts are delivered to your door each month, and you can pause or cancel the service anytime. Read more about it at sapbushfarmstore.com/meat-buy-month. Our online website is also stocked with our eggs, wool blankets and comforters, and wool yarn. But if you're in the area, feel free to drop by our Honor Store any time of the day or night, located in the little red shed at the back of the cafe parking lot. The address is 832 West Fulton Road, West Fulton, New York. And, woohoo, you can even charge your car while there. If you'd like to come see us for a getaway, our farm-to-table retreat on Panther Creek and Tibbetts House across the street are both taking bookings through Airbnb. And if you want to subscribe to the digital newsletter to stay on top of cafe and farm specials, farm happenings, or follow my musings on the blog when the podcast goes silent in the fall and winter, get Ula's hand-drawn postcards in the mail, and receive our CSA flyers, send me an email with your contact info at shannon@sapbush.com. If you enjoyed this, please take a few minutes to leave a review. This helps other folks find my work. And please share this podcast with friends and family to get the ideas to spread. Better still, you can help make the magic happen for as little as $1 a month by hopping over to Patreon and looking up Shannon Hayes. Or if it's easier, you can also donate to support the podcast by sending a check payable to Shannon Hayes, care of Sackbush Hollow Farm, 832 West Fulton Road, West Fulton, New York, 12194. And that's a really important thing to do because all of this, the podcast, the blog, the books, and the creative recharging that happens over the fall and winter are a result of the support of my patrons on Patreon. And this week, I'd like to send a shout out to my patrons, Emily Williamson and Sonia Gomez from Buenos Aires, Argentina. Thank you, folks. I could not do it without you. In case you were wondering, this podcast was produced and edited by the sexiest man alive, my husband, Bob Hooper. And the great music we're listening to comes to us from Emery. Thanks for listening and have a great week.
Now the birds are singing about all the things they've seen over in the other countries, sowing seeds and reaping dreams. And I think that I am learning.